Thanks for being here this morning. Rosemary and I are really sorry that we can't be here, but due to the fact that we were so close to Dad on the day that he got his COVID positive test, we have had to quarantine together along with Mom in the home. And so we're taping this for you this morning, and hopefully that God will use it in your lives. This morning we're going to be talking about Daniel and going back through a little bit of Daniel to his later life, and we want you to understand that today we're going to see how Daniel responds to the Word of God as he views it for the first time. And so we're going to be talking about our response to the Word of God, and we'll be in the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. But we want you to understand that as we move through this, this is Daniel's later life. And his early life was the things you see on the screen right there. These are some of the things that he witnessed as he went through his early life from about 16 through 35. And in that time period, he saw a godly king who he was raised under. Josiah was killed by King Nebo. And we see that later in his life, in 16 on through 35, he witnessed the capture and the conquer of King Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Zedekiah, king by Nebuchadnezzar. We also know that he witnessed the destruction of his country, his capital city, Jerusalem, as well as Solomon's temple, which is a magnificent structure. But when Nebuchadnezzar got done with it, it was all laying flat on the ground with nothing left. He witnessed all these things from the ages of 16 to 35, all at the time that he was in the palace of the king of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And so as we look at these things, we understand that this is his early life. And when we come to the passage we're at today in Daniel 9, we understand it's 66 years later that he is witnessing this time, almost 70 years after his capture and the imprisonment and the exile of the people of Israel to Babylon. And so Daniel is in these first verses here, he's reading something. He's reading out of the book, the scroll of Jeremiah. And as he reads this, it says it was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became the king of Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of God as was revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So we understand here that Daniel is reading this scroll of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was in many respects a contemporary of Daniel, probably quite a little bit older than he was. In fact, his time of ministry occurred from the time before Daniel was born through the time when Daniel basically was taken captive. And so he would have known Jeremiah, and he would have known of his writings. And so when he reads these things, you have to understand that he is not only reading what he wrote, but he is reading what he has lived through. He has lived through all this time, all the things that we're going to read in Jeremiah. In fact, I want us to read Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 7. And this is the reason that God judged this nation of Judah. He says, "But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You've made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourself all the disasters you now suffer. And now the Lord of heaven's army says, because you have not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I have appointed as my deputy, and I will bring them against your land and its people and against the surrounding nations, and I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and contempt and ruin forever. I will take away your happy singing and laughter. The joyful voices of a bridegroom and their brides will no longer be heard. Your millstones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. And then for 70 years of captivity after is over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his people for their sins, says the Lord. I will make the country of the Babylonians a wasteland forever." So Daniel's reading this. And he has he lived through this time. He understood what was going on. He understood why they had been sent to Babylon. But he also sees here that it is a number 70 years that they would be in captivity to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, or into other countries that would be in that time frame. And he understands that Babylon also is going to be deposed. Now, for me, it's interesting also to understand that when he reads this, he has already seen the overturn of the Babylonian kingdom. In fact, he lives right now under the reign of Darius, the king of Babylon, who probably was put there as a puppet king by Cyrus, king of Persia, when they conquered this particular kingdom. And so Daniel now has served and lived through three of his own kings, four of his own kings in Judah, and now we've lived under Nebuchadnezzar and under Belshazzar, and now under Darius and also under King Cyrus. And so he's lived through four kingdoms and two world powers. He's watched these things happen, and he knows what's going on. He's aware that his time is short. And in chapter 5 of Daniel, we see that he also witnessed the downfall of Babylon to the Medes and the Persians. And so as he notices that, he understands that if the Babylonians have fallen and the Persians have taken over, that this prophecy by Jeremiah has already taken place. And as we look at that, we understand that God has already told him that Babylon would be deposed and that another nation would come in to take over, and he has already seen that. And so as we turn to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, we understand that in this first verse, actually in the 3rd verse, Daniel says, "So I turned to the Lord and pleaded to him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes." Daniel had realized that something was happening, and the time had come for him to begin to pray in response to what Jeremiah had said and God had told Jeremiah to speak. And so I would like to read Daniel 9, beginning with verse 3 through 19. I know this is a long section, but it also, I want you to hear this response that Daniel has to the things that he's heard Jeremiah speak. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, that came to Daniel. And as Daniel reads it, he has a response to it. And following our reading here, we're going to look at 5 words that describe this prayer, this response of Daniel to God. It begins here in verse 3. It says, "So I turned to the Lord God, and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, 'O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commandments. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commandments and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right, but as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings and princes and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servant, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instructions and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured down upon us because of our sin. We have kept your word and done to us, you have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you warned us. Never has there been such a disaster as happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek your mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Therefore the Lord has brought upon us the disaster he prepared. The Lord our God is right to do all these things, for we did not obey him. O Lord our God, who brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing our people from Egypt in a great display of power, but But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city, Jerusalem, from your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. O our God, hear our servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on the desolate sanctuary. O my God, lead down and listen to me. Open my eyes and see our despair. See how our city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruin. We make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. There are five words that really describe this particular prayer and this response of Daniel to God and the message he received. And we have a great opportunity, because every time we read the scriptures, we have an opportunity to respond to God in the same way, both personally and nationally. And so the first word that I want you to think about is the word turn. Daniel says here, so I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Daniel says, I turned to the Lord God, as though he had turned away from him. However, he had not turned away from him. He was a righteous man. And yet he includes himself with the people who have already sinned. He includes himself with a nation that has been immoral and has been wicked and has served other gods. And he includes himself in that group, even though he has not done that. You see, he is not self-righteous. He is not above those who are his leaders and who are his ancestors. He says, we all fall under the same judgment that God has given. And so he says, I turn to the Lord God. In other words, he turns toward God and starts to appeal and talk with him about those things. The second word that I want you to think about is the word own. Daniel came to this point and he said, we own our sin. We own our sin, but we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. You see, Daniel says, I understand that we are the ones who are wrong. We have done this to ourselves. I must own my own sin. I own the sin of my nation. I own the sin of myself. And so because I own those sins, we come to the third word. And that third word is the word confess. Confess is to say that what God has said is right and what I have done is wrong. And that's what he says. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets who spoke on your authority, to our kings and princes and ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are right, but you see that our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah, Jerusalem, and all Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. He says, we have been wrong. You are absolutely right in everything you have done to us, and we have chosen to do what is wrong. Therefore, we deserve everything we are getting, and we confess that sin. Now, the difference between owning and confessing is owning is saying, I have a part in this. Confession is a specific statement of the sins. And as we read through that passage, you could see that he named several sins that his people were guilty of participating in. They had worshiped other gods. They had worshiped the gods of pleasure and power. They had worshiped the gods of immorality, the gods of the sacrifice of innocent blood upon the land. He owned those things as his own and saying, this is the reason we have been judged and punished as we have. And so he confesses those specific things. So first of all, he turns to God, then he owns his own sin, then he confesses that sin specifically. And thirdly, he says we must repent of that sin. It's interesting because this particular verse almost sounds as though there's no repentance. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. We have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing the truth. Therefore, the Lord God has brought upon us the disasters he prepared. It says they have refused to turn to the Lord their God. Daniel here is acting as an intercessor for his people. He is turning to God for them. He is repenting of their sin. He is turning away from the sin and turning toward God, moving away from what he knows is wrong to that which he knows is correct. and he is he is appealing to God to listen to his prayer as he repents of it. And that takes us to the fifth word, and the word is appeal. Daniel appeals to God Almighty, his God. And he says, O Lord, our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a display of great power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. He goes back and he remembers the very first time when God was faithful to his people by giving them cross, by giving the capacity to cross over the Red Sea by a great display of power. God was faithful to them then. He was always been faithful to them, but they have not been faithful to him. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. He appeals to God's mercy. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sin and the sins of our ancestors. O our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead for your own sake. Lord, smile on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, notice he says, he personalizes it. This is his God, the one he serves with his whole life. Lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how your city, the city that bears your name, he says, lies in ruins. We make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. Daniel appeals to the mercy of God. Now, mercy is the capacity of God to not give us what we deserve. We deserve to have judgment. This nation deserved to have judgment, but he appeals to them to have mercy upon them so he would not give them any more judgment, but would free them from the bondage they were in. And then he says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. He's asking God for his mercy, and alongside of mercy always comes grace. So mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting, mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what God wants to give us, his favor upon our lives. So Daniel here is saying to us, when you have a response to God, turn to God, own your sin, confess your sin in its very specific nature, repent of the sin, turn away from it, and turn to God to walk with him, and then appeal to God's mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness. Isn't it interesting that in our time of grace, the time that we live in, God has already given us that grace. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God gave us that promise that he would do those things. But as we look at our nation, as we look at the sins of our nation, it behooves us as Christians to own that sin along with all the others. Rather than saying it's them and us, we need to say, you know, it is all of us. We all own this sin. We've all been a partner to this because we have not spoken or we have not done something, but we all own this sin. So as we consider these things, I encourage you to, first of all, as in a national way, start to pray for our country in that regard. Pray that God would indeed have his mercy on us, that he would hear our confession, our repentance, that he would move in our lives. And personally, as you come to the scriptures and you find the scriptures as you move to them, would you take these five words, this idea of turning to God, owning your own sin, confessing that sin, repenting of their sin, and then appealing to God's mercy and his grace in your life. Would you respond to God and his word, the truth that he gives you, in that way so that we will come to the scriptures and we will hear what God has to say to us, and we will then respond to him in a way that's appropriate, that would keep judgment from falling upon us. So I just want to close this morning by praying for us and praying for our nation. So would you just bow your heads as we pray for our nation? Lord God, I thank you that you have given us your faithfulness to us. You have been there for us. You have always watched over us, and you have said you will never leave us nor forsake us. It is through the blood of Christ that we find forgiveness. It is through your loving kindness that we find grace, and we find repentance because of what you have done for us. Lord, we come into your presence, and we turn toward you. We own the sin of our nation. Father, forgive us for the sin of our nation, for the immorality, for the innocent lives that have been killed. Lord, it is our leaders and our those who govern us and those, but it is also the people, Lord, that own this sin. We repent of that sin. We repent of our power and our desire for pleasure. Lord, would you hear our voice? Would you, by your mercy, grant us your mercy and your grace upon this nation that we may return to you? Father, would you just hold this and allow us not to be in judgment? But Father, we also just bow before you and we recognize that you are sovereign and that many times the plans you have are not the plans that we have. And so we submit to that as well. Lord, as you speak to us through your word in these next days, would you allow us to respond to you with owning our sin and turning toward you and confessing our sin and repenting of it and appealing for your mercy? Lord, would you minister to us in these next days in a way that allows us to intercede for our nation and intercede for our brothers and sisters and for ourselves. Father, thank you that Lord Jesus intercedes for us with words that cannot be spoken by any other. Holy Spirit, you are within us. You speak the same words. And so, Father, we ask that you would minister your grace to us in these next days. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you this week as you seek to live out these words. Thanks for being here.